Because that's the bottom line. Bottom line. Bottom line. Bottom line.
ESPN Radio. 1300, 92.5. Bottom line. Brad Taylor. Thank you for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning, Lexington's fastest growing sports talk radio show, where it's all about cashing those tickets, baby. Thanks for joining us. If you want to dive in on the telephone this morning, 859-381-1313, if you'd like to call in and join in on the conversation. And we have an email address now. Yes, hold the phones. We have an email address here on this show, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. So drop us a line. That's bottomlinelex@gmail.com if you'd rather email to tell us what you think of the show, you tell us what you think is going on in the world. Feel free to drop in anytime. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at bottomlinelex. Coming up on today's show, the Big Blue Nation finally gets their first look at the Kentucky basketball team, and everybody's got an opinion. College football survives yet another week of cancellations. The Bengals return to face an old nemesis today. Nothing says mid-November like the Masters. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, all that and more coming up on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor here on a Sunday morning. But first, in the first game for Kentucky football, after they lost offensive line coach John Schlarman, may he rest in peace, to cancer this week, Kentucky defeated Vanderbilt 38-35. It was an emotional game that began with Kentucky intentionally taking a delay of game penalty on the first play of the game, leaving an offensive guard position empty to signify them recognizing Coach Schlarman. Of course, Vandy knew that Kentucky was going to do this before the game because they talked about it before the game, so they agreed to decline the penalty. No disrespect, but wouldn't it have been a great heel turn if Vandy changed their mind right at the last second and took the 5-yard penalty? Now, that Hulk Hogan going to the NWO would never have been able to hold a candle to that one, but I digress. But the star of the game and the main target of criticism here on The Bottom Line for months now is our old pal, Terry Wilson. Terry Wilson, yesterday, coming back from an injury, kind of, sort of, went 13 out of 15 for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns passing. And then he also added 7 carries for 83 yards rushing and another touchdown. Wilson's quarterback rating against Vanderbilt was 95.5 out of 100. Easily the best of his career and much better than the anemic 4.3 out of 100 Wilson put up in his previous start 3 weeks ago in a loss at Missouri. The one thing that Wilson has shown us statistically over the years is that he is very inconsistent. When he's good, he can pull off wins against Florida and Penn State. When he's not so good, he looks like a guy who probably should be a backup. That's how extremely hot and cold this guy gets. Yesterday, he was on fire. That was his good side. That's the best he's ever looked. But Kentucky had a plan going into the game of playing not one, not two, but 3 quarterbacks in that game, and they did just that, including playing true freshman Bo Allen from here in Lexington himself, who went 3 of 5 for 40 yards passing. The fact that Terry Wilson started the game was a sign that Kentucky was dead set on winning this game. But the fact that Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood both also played in this game was a sign that Kentucky was ready to look to the future as well. The quarterback rotation against Vanderbilt is one thing, but let's see who gets the snaps going forward against much tougher opponents going forward after Vanderbilt. Other players yesterday, running back Chris Rodriguez, who before yesterday was rated by Pro Football Focus as one of the top 10 running backs in all of college football going into yesterday, added 149 yards on 13 carries, including a 74-yarder that basically wrapped up the game in the fourth quarter. The running game as a whole dominated play yesterday, 8.8 yards per carry. You're not going to lose many games getting 8.8 yards a pop. I don't care what level you're playing on. It took half a season for the Kentucky coaches to see what most of us could see very early on, which is that Rodriguez is the more talented running back than A.J. Rose, who got a majority of the snaps earlier in the season. But recently, Rodriguez has 42 carries in the last three games compared to 15 for Rose. And yesterday, Rodriguez passed 1,000 yards in his career, becoming the 39th player in Kentucky history to do so. And according to Pro Football Focus this morning, no running back in all of college football yesterday had more, quote-unquote, yards after contact than Rodriguez. Which leads us all to one question. Why did it take so long for the Kentucky powers that be to give this guy full-time carries? Because he should have been playing a lot more a lot earlier. It took a long time, a little too long if you ask us, for them to finally figure out that Chris Rodriguez is a major running back talent, one that should be playing a lot more than he has so far this season. But the much maligned receivers, the guys who have basically gotten the statistical blame for this offense's struggles in recent weeks, they seemed to play better. Although Kentucky had only 150 yards passing, 10 different players caught passes, including a team-leading 4 receptions from DeMarcus Harris. Have you heard of DeMarcus Harris's name on this show before? Yes, you have. Because last week we pointed out, in those magical, mythical Pro Football Focus player ratings, who have rated 297 wide receivers in all of college football, DeMarcus Harris rates 297th, dead last. Now, will that improve this week based on yesterday's play? Maybe, but who cares at this point? DeMarcus Harris led the team in receptions yesterday in a win, so that has to be a positive point, right? But it was not all leprechauns, unicorns, pots of gold at the end of the rainbow, and where's the beef commercials for Kentucky football yesterday. The defense was humiliated by a team that had averaged 12.2 points per game going into yesterday by allowing 35 to the worst team in the SEC. Ken Seals, who ranked 13th out of 15 SEC quarterbacks going into Saturday with a QBR of 52.4 for the season, put up a QBR of 86.2 yesterday. Vanderbilt got 29 first downs, converted 11 of 17 third downs, and got 5.1 yards per play while getting over 400 total yards in the game. Allowing that kind of offense to Vanderbilt, that's one thing. Kentucky could still win a game like that. Allowing that kind of offense to Alabama and Florida, the next two opponents, and there's no chance Kentucky wins those games. There's very little chance anyway, even if they don't allow that many yards. But of course, Mark Stoops, very emotional after the game, he's now a better coach than Bear Bryant. Well, Mark Stoops has more home wins at Kentucky than the Bear had, 34-33. So there you go, Mark Stoops. You're now better than Bear Bryant. Have an award, have a cookie, whatever you want to do to celebrate. But now let's look at this team from a big picture perspective, from our perspective. The guy trying to cash a few tickets. The guy trying to make a couple dollars. This is a team sitting 3-4 straight up on the season and 3-4 against the point spread. Also, now they're 5-2 under the total for the season. We thought they'd go under yesterday. Little did we know it would be a shootout, 38-35. There's been whispers and rumors around the SEC about changing schedules for the coming weeks. But as of now, Kentucky faces an impossible two-week gauntlet of road games against Alabama 1 week and Florida the next. Both those teams will be facing off against each other in the SEC championship game in a few weeks. But who cares? Kentucky gets to play them both on the road the next couple of weeks. Next week, Kentucky will go to Alabama, number one in the nation, 4 o'clock on the SEC Network, if you're interested in watching. Their quarterback, a name familiar to insiders, well, not really insiders, but people who follow Kentucky recruiting, Mac Jones, because he was a former commitment to the University of Kentucky. He was going to come to Lexington. Well, he changed his mind and went to Alabama. No offense to Kentucky, it was probably the better choice, because now he's a front runner for the Heisman Trophy. The Tide should be a 20-plus point favorite in the game when the Lions come out later today. And as we've talked about on this show quite a bit, Mark Stoops is a road dog in the SEC, not exactly cashing you a lot of tickets. 13-15 over the years as an SEC road dog against the spread. That's Mark Stoops. But the Cats yesterday played on a lot of emotion, and the odds makers won't be taking any of that into consideration when these numbers are posted later today. And to be honest, if you're trying to handicap this game, you shouldn't take that emotion into consideration either. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Hey, we finally got some college basketball this week. Kentucky basketball had their little pro day televised, so all the great talent scouts here at Kentucky could make their judgments and opinions on who's who for this year's Kentucky basketball team. Of course, here come the cliches. Player A can jump, player B can shoot. This guy's going to be a lottery pick. We've heard it all before. We address it all the time. Everybody's got an opinion now. Let's wait till we get some numbers. Let's wait till we get some stats before we judge this team. Because we all know, Calipari, with this one-and-done era, those teams tend to struggle early. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But are we even going to have a college basketball season to have these debates about this year? The Ivy League, which were the trendsetters way back in February, they were the first league to say, we're not having a conference basketball tournament. They said that in February, not March, February. And of course, everybody's like, oh, that's an overreaction. What are they doing? Why are they canceling so early? Well, the Ivy League proved yet again they're smarter than the big boys of college sports, because then everybody canceled everything on Wednesday, March 11th, unless you count the mysterious Big East tournament that was played at noon on Thursday, March 12th. They played one half of basketball, Creighton and St. John's, and then they canceled the whole tournament at halftime of that game. How'd you cash tickets on that game? That's another story for another day. It was an incredible time, but it looks like we're headed that way again, possibly. And now, yesterday, college basketball legend, wholesome family man, and Big Blue Nation favorite, Rick Pitino, using all those terms very loosely, has suggested that college basketball be delayed a while, and then they have May Madness, not March Madness. That way, we could have plenty of time to get all these games in, forget all these preseason conference games, non-conference games, let's just play in the conference so there's less travel. Way to go, Rick Pitino. Yeah, that can't happen. College basketball is not outside of towns like Lexington, Kentucky, Durham and Chapel Hill, Lawrence, Kansas. College basketball is basically a one-month-a-year sport where people want to fill out brackets, but the rest of the year, they don't really want to watch a whole lot of regular season games. So your little plan to have a tournament in May, probably not the smartest idea, but there will be an NCAA tournament this year, and I can promise you that. Why? They've already lost the money from one tournament last year. The NCAA did. If they lose another tournament, now you're going to see a lot of people lose jobs, because that's over $1 billion for 2 years that the NCAA would lose. But we work in theory here on the bottom line with Brad Taylor at ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. We're going to go forward as if the season is going to happen as they're scheduling it as of now. So now that Kentucky basketball is allegedly going to start in 10 days, which is kind of difficult to believe, because when I look across the street out the windows here from the palatial ESPN Radio studios here in downtown Lexington, I wonder how they can have any event with all the construction going on right now. I actually tripped and fell this morning over a spot in the sidewalk where they had some construction roped off. It was dark. I couldn't see anything. I'm fine, but I spilled my drink. That started my day just great. Yes, Mom, I'm fine. I know you're listening and worried. I'm just fine. I just tripped and fell. I spilled my drink. That's what I was upset about. But I digress. But are we going forward with some investing tips on Kentucky basketball for the coming season? Yes, we are. Last week, we gave you a preview of our November cupcake stat, where John Calipari is 17-23 against the spread as a home favorite against non-Power Fives while he's at Kentucky. But it's not all about bad news here. People are like, why don't you say anything good about Kentucky? Oh, we do. When they do something good, we say it. But sometimes they don't do everything good, and we say that too. I'm just telling you the truth based on data and history. So we're going to give you some positive spin on Kentucky basketball for the coming season. When the calendar flips to March, a lot of people around here, they get the fever. Oh, Kentucky's going all the way. By the way, little tip, how do you win your bracket pools around here? Just take Kentucky to go as far as they're supposed to go, using that supposed to go in quotes there. You'll do a lot better than if you take them to go all the way, just saying. But when the calendar flips to March and the schedule goes from the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament from the regular season, you don't want to go against Calipari early in those rounds. In the SEC tournament and the first three rounds of the NCAA tournament, Calipari's record against the point spread is 35-15-3. That's 70%. Now that's actionable information. Now, once Calipari advances past the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament, that record goes way downhill really fast. But during the SEC tournament, against the spread now, Calipari 17-8 with two pushes. And in the first three rounds of the NCAA tournament under Calipari, Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, 18-7 and one push in terms of covering spreads. So a rule of thumb to remember when you're trying to handicap these games, both early and late in the season, during Calipari's tenure at Kentucky, go against him in the cupcake games early in the season when he's a big home favorite, and go with him in the SEC tournament and early, first three rounds, of the NCAA tournament. We will get into the later stages of the tournament on another day, but we're trying to stay positive today. And timing is everything. If you know anything about this show, we'll get into the negativity with the best of them when the time comes. But for now, it's all leprechauns and unicorns. Kinda. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio, 1392.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Again, make sure to email us, bottomlinelex at gmail.com. Give us a call, 859-381-1313. Coming up after the break, if you like the city of Cincinnati, you're going to love that segment. We're going to refer to three teams from Cincinnati in our next segment, and you'll see how after the break. But first, Clark's Auto Service. Bill Clark and his staff out there at Westland Drive, they're the best in the business. They've got my car running like a dream. I've got a couple of older cars, and I'm telling you, I took it out there, and they've got those cars running just like almost they were brand new. That's Bill Clark, Clark's Auto Service. Make sure to check out their information online, clarksautolexington.com. More sports talk after the break, and we'll start to get into our preview of the NFL slate with more college football, too, coming up here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Bottom Line with Brad Taylor here on ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. We appreciate you listening. If you had a good day watching college football yesterday, the fun is not over. College football still taking place. At 12 o'clock, there will be a game. Cal and UCLA will face off in a game that starts 9 o'clock local time out in L.A. They'll be playing in the Rose Bowl. How would you feel if you're one of those kids out in Los Angeles having to play a game at 9 o'clock in the morning? Probably not your ideal, because I remember when I was in college, 9 o'clock in the morning, yeah, I didn't want to get up that early to do anything. We have no fresh hot take on this game. UCLA lost its opener last week to Colorado. Cal playing for the first time. So who knows what to expect here, because this game was just rescheduled early this week when other teams had to cancel. But it wasn't long ago when UCLA coach Chip Kelly was considered a hot commodity in the coaching profession. He lost 7 games in 4 years at Oregon and then lost the national championship game in 2010 on the final play of the game. But as we all know, things change quickly in this world. This is Kelly's third job since leaving Oregon in 2012. He had a losing record in the NFL, and now in his third year at UCLA, his record is 7-18. We'll stay away from this game because we don't know what to expect from either team, to be quite honest. So, yeah, handle with care if you're going to handle this game today starting at noon. But elsewhere in college football yesterday, probably the biggest newsmaker, Florida was a 17-point favorite and routed Arkansas 63-35 down in Florida yesterday. Kyle Trask now sneaking into that Heisman Trophy race, 356 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. And to think that Felipe Franks started over him at the beginning of 2019. Nice call, Dan Mullen. Kind of like Chris Rodriguez. What took you so long to figure out who you had there? Kyle Trask, though, he has the fourth best odds for the Heisman Trophy, at least he did going into the weekend. And you don't think a win over Alabama in the SEC championship game would help him out as far as the Heisman? Oh, yes, it would. But the shame of this game was that Arkansas fell to 3-4. Oh, what's wrong with that, you say? Why would you worry about Arkansas falling to 3-4? Well, they've got a new coach. They've stunk for years. So who cares that they lost to Florida? Well, going into the game, they were the only undefeated team in America against the point spread that had played that many games. Now they sit at 6-1, now tied for cashing the most tickets in all of college football with Wake Forest of all teams. So what do those teams, Arkansas and Wake Forest, have in common? They both were terrible last year. They both very much underperformed last year. So the public looks at them and says, well, they're going to still stink this year. Well, we got new coaches. We got new quarterbacks. All of a sudden, now you're covering point spreads at a level that's going to make you cash you a lot of tickets, if you know what I'm saying. So that's what you look for from year to year. So congratulations to Arkansas Wake Forest, 6-1 against the spread. Hope you've been on some of them this year. It just proves that it's not about taking the Alabamas and Ohio States and Clemsons of the world to cover ridiculously overvalued numbers. The value comes from the teams that nobody expects much from and riding them out as dogs. Arkansas and Wake Forest this year are combined 12-2 against the spread and 9-1 against the spread as underdogs. Now that's catching some tickets, if you know what I mean. Another big game yesterday, using the term big very loosely, Wisconsin, a 7-point favorite, ran all over Michigan 49-11. And of course, Jim Harbaugh, after the game, coaching stands out the most amid this skid. Well, I know another place that you might have a skid, if you know what I'm saying. Neither here nor there. But when Harbaugh is an underdog while he's at Michigan, yeah, it's bad news. He's never won a game. He's 0-11 straight up, and he's 3-8 against the spread. So in other words, when you see Jim Harbaugh as a dog at Michigan, go against him no matter what. And for those Big Ten fans, Michigan and Penn State, they're a combined 1-7 straight up on the season. Who saw that one coming? Not many people did, or else there'd be a lot more people cashing tickets. On Friday night, Cincinnati allegedly ran up the score as they went to 7-0 with a 38-point win over East Carolina, who haven't been relevant since Jeff Blake was there in 1991. But I digress. And they're covering spreads, too, at Cincinnati. They're 5-2 against the number out in the desert. But if you think they're making the college football playoff if they run the table, I've got some magic beans I'd like to sell you because it ain't happening, no matter what. Notre Dame followed up their epic win over a backup quarterback for Clemson last week with a win and cover against Boston College. And now Indiana is a juggernaut, shutting out Michigan State 24-0. Speaking of teams cashing tickets, Indiana 4-0 straight up, and they're 4-0 against the spread because you can't lose with Indiana apparently this year. They haven't played as many games as most of the other teams, but you can't argue with 4-0. And in the SEC last night, Ole Miss put up 59 on South Carolina. Ole Miss now 3-4 on the year. South Carolina 2-5. Can we finally get rid of the South Carolina coach, Will Muschamp, please? If you didn't see the video last night, Lane Kiffin up to his old tricks, throwing his play sheet about 50 feet in the air after one touchdown. But in the SEC yesterday, 3 games were played, 4 games were canceled. Welcome to 2020. Next week, some big games. Number 10, Indiana, will go to Ohio State. Look for Ohio State to put them in their place. Other games among ranked teams, 14 Oklahoma State and 18 Oklahoma. Does anybody even care about the Big 12 right now? I don't think anybody does because nobody can make the playoff, apparently. So why even bother? Number 13, Wisconsin, goes to number 23, Northwestern. Cincinnati might find things a little tougher. They go to Central Florida next week. Number 4, Clemson, goes to Florida State. If this had been any time in the last 20 years before the last couple, you'd say it was a great big game. Now it's not, so who cares? In the SEC next week, Florida will go to Vandy. I think Florida's already put up 35 in that game. LSU goes to Arkansas. Maybe Arkansas could pull out another one and cover another point spread. Ole Miss goes to A&M. I don't think Ole Miss is going to put up 59 points this time like they did last night. And our good old Southern six-pack and bug zapper games. You've got Mississippi State and Georgia, Missouri and South Carolina, Tennessee and Auburn. Have fun with those. Only the families and the gamblers will love those games. So there you go. Next week in college football, fun for everyone. Hopefully they won't have as many games canceled. But speaking of Cincinnati, we're going to go to baseball for just a second. They had big news in the Reds world this week, as we are the home of the Reds here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor. For the first time in the history of the Reds, they have a Cy Young Award winner. Trevor Bauer, who is currently a free agent. Yes, I'm foreshadowing there. He won the Cy Young last week. Was he the best pitcher in the National League this season? Yeah, he was. Our favorite stat to judge a pitcher overall, ERA plus, which is league ERA divided by the pitcher's ERA and adjusted to the pitcher's ballpark. It's our favorite one to kind of judge how good a pitcher really is. An average pitcher gets a 100 in this statistic. This season, Bauer had an ERA plus 276. That means he was 176% better than the average pitcher in 2020. The next highest was Yu Darvish, 221. So Bauer dominated the league, and he led the league in all the regular old-fashioned categories like ERA, complete games, and shutouts, although they were only in seven-inning games, but they still count as shutouts. Walks and hits per innings pitched and hits per nine innings, all those nerdy stats. He was the best pitcher in the league, but did anyone really see this coming? Did you see it coming? You know who didn't see it coming? The Reds didn't see it coming. The Reds traded for Trevor Bauer on July 31st, 2019. Bauer then started 10 games for the Reds the final 2 months of that season. He went 2-5 with a 6.39 ERA, and his ERA plus in that time for Cincinnati was 73, which means he was 27% worse than an average pitcher during that time. So there was nothing Bauer did with the Reds in 2019 that indicated he would be so dominant in 2020, and even the Reds didn't see it. Sonny Gray started opening day for the Reds. Luis Castillo started the second game. And then Trevor Bauer finally took the field in game three and might have been delayed until game four if Anthony DeSclafani had opened the season healthy instead of opening on the injured list. So if the Reds knew he was going to be the best pitcher on the team, much less the National League, do you think he would have started the third game or the first game? The Reds can say anything they want about knowing that this was coming and knowing that this was going to happen this year, but the order of the rotation speaks louder than any spin the organization could put on it, that's for sure. There aren't many guarantees in life, and there were absolutely no guarantees about Trevor Bauer's miracle 2020 season. But one thing I can guarantee you about Bauer's 2021 season, it ain't going to be in Cincinnati. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. The Bengals will be on our sister station, 92.1 Classic Rock, today. And we've got a quarterback matchup, Joe Burrow and Ben Roethlisberger. Who's the best quarterback this year? Well, according to Pro Football Focus, it's Joe Burrow. He's ranked 13th in those stats. Ben Roethlisberger is ranked 15th in those stats. But when these teams match up, and Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite right now, that totals 46 out in the desert. When these teams match up, and Ben Roethlisberger is quarterbacking Pittsburgh, it's bad news for the Bengals. Ben Roethlisberger career, regular season and playoffs, 25-7 straight up against the Bengals. But against the spread, he's 22-9-1. That's cashing a lot of tickets right there. And when he's a favorite against the Bengals, Ben Roethlisberger just acts like a big bully. He's 16-8-1 against the Bengals against the point spread as a favorite. At first glance, this game looks completely lopsided. Bengals 2-5-1 overall, but 6-1-1 against the spread. They have the 8th worst record of the NFL, but they've been one of the best teams to bet on covering the number all season. And Cincinnati's coming off an impressive win over the Titans 2 weeks ago when they were an outright winner as a 7-point home dog. But the Steelers, the only undefeated team in the NFL's 8-0 straight up. They've also covered a lot of spreads, 6-2 against the spread. They just beat Dallas, though, 24-19, when they were a 14-point favorite. This line opened with Pittsburgh minus 10. Smart money jumped on the Bengals early. This line is now around 7.5. The game went off the board for a little while. We didn't know if Roethlisberger was going to play because of the COVID. Looks like he is going to play. I'd monitor these line moves. If I'm taking the Bengals, I might want to wait until closer to game time because the Bengals will have road division dog value and a little bit of extra rest as they play off the bye. But it's hard to see Cincinnati actually going into Pittsburgh winning this game today. We'll say 30-17. One big thing that we're looking for today, look at the wind in a lot of these games. We'll address that in our Mac Daddy Stogie segment coming up. But yes, this is not a game that we look to play. We need a few more points than 7 or 7.5. Bengals have had a great season. They may not cover today. Ben Roethlisberger just has their number. But that's okay because the Bengals, an up-and-coming team. And remember, you can hear that game later today, 92.1 Classic Rock. Bengals and Steelers, 4 o'clock on that station. Coming up after the break, you know what's coming. The most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. ESPN Radio, 1392.5. I had a coffee fit in the last segment. That was why the abrupt commercial came. Couldn't find the cough button in time. Let's just go to commercial. Thanks for joining us here on this Sunday. 381-1313 if you'd like to call in. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio, 1392.5. We know why you're listening. You're tuning in to the fastest growing sports talk radio show in Lexington. You're also listening right now to the most profitable segment in all of Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Let's get to them quickly. Make sure to look at the forecast. You think we're crazy on this show, I know. Look at the forecasts around the league today. There's a lot of winds in the Eastern time zone and Central time zone. If you're playing the overs today in those time zones, look out, especially Cleveland and Green Bay. There's a hint for you. We're not going to sit here and do all the weather forecasts for you. The numbers tell us the wind affects these football teams more than rain or snow, if you can believe that. So beware of games with high winds today. Look for winds over 10 miles an hour. That's usually the Mendoza line. When it comes to winds affecting offenses, blindly taking unders in NFL games with 10 miles an hour or higher winds since 2003, the under hits 460 and does not hit 359 times. That's 56.2%. That's a pretty good sample size for something that large. So there's 8 games today where the winds will be higher than 10 miles an hour. I'm not going to sit here and list them all off for you because that's terrible radio. So do your homework. I'll give you a hint. Cleveland and Green Bay, those are the obvious ones. But let's get into our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks in the league where they play for pay, the NFL. Washington, 3.5-point underdog against Detroit. Our two quarterbacks, Alex Smith, who's lucky to be able to walk, and Matthew Stafford, ranked 28th in the Pro Football Focus quarterback ratings. These are two lousy teams yet again. Washington, hail to the football team, 2-6, 3-4-1 against the spread. Although they're coming off a game they probably should have won last week against the Giants when they were a 3-point favorite and they lost. The Lions, also 3-5, straight up and against the spread. They've lost 2 straight, and they got slaughtered by the Vikings a couple of weeks ago as only 3-point dogs. Kyle Allen out for Washington. Alex Smith in. We have no idea what to expect from him. When will Dwayne Haskins be put back in for Washington? Matthew Stafford left the last game with a concussion. Well, he's going to play today. But these are two bad teams. Point differential. Washington on the season, minus 35. Lions, minus 43. Our trend in this game, let's use the same trend we used last week in Washington, except the other way around when we had the Giants over Washington. Road dogs after a bad season. When you see a road dog of less than a touchdown, that's Washington. And the total of the game is under 50. It's 46.5. And they're coming off a previous season with 6 wins or less. That's definitely Washington. Those teams hit 64.6% of the time, 170 up, 93 down, including 4-0 this season. Hail to the football team. Give us Washington getting 3.5 in Detroit. Here's one for you that may be a little bit off the radar. Tampa Bay, 5.5-point favorite at Carolina. Tom Brady, back to his old tricks, the third-best quarterback in the league. Teddy Bridgewater, 25th. Here's an NFC South matchup. And we always like to look at unders when it comes to divisional games. Our trend in this game, division unders late in the season are especially profitable. In divisional matchups, November and December since 2003, and the total's below 57. That's a very high number. The total in this one is 50, probably going down because of the wind as we speak. The under hits 58.8% of the time, 223 up, 156 down. High winds in Carolina today. We love going under that 50.5 total. Big game out in Arizona, a few fantasy players especially. Buffalo getting 3, heading out to Arizona. Josh Allen, the 5th best quarterback in the league. Kyle Murray, the 10th best quarterback in the league. Anytime you see two non-conference teams like these getting together, you can count on a high-scoring game. The Bills, 7-2 straight up, but only 4-5 against the spread. But they're on a three-game winning streak, just coming off an upset of Seattle when they are an underdog. The Cardinals, a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde in them. They're 5-3 on the season straight up and against the point spread. But they lost last week as six-point home favorites. The pros are banking on a shootout in this game, and they love the over in this one. Total's already gone up from 54 to 56. Don't have to worry about the wins in this game. But the public rushing to the window to capture the streaking Bills. So you got a little reverse line movement. More money on Buffalo, yet the money goes in favor of Arizona. Our trend in this game, the visitor, when the line gets better, if you have the road team where the road team, the line has moved in your favor, line's already up to 3. And then the total is 45 or more. A lot of points expected this game. Give us the side who got the better end of the deal on the line. That's Buffalo. Give us Buffalo plus 3 at Arizona. And one more late addition to this fluid process known as our Mac Daddy Stogies. Houston and Cleveland. Houston, a 4.5-point underdog. And why would anybody want to take the Texans right now? The Texans, 2-6 straight up, 1-7 against the spread. They just haven't had it this year. But one guy who has had it is Deshaun Watson, who's still the sixth best quarterback in the league if you look at the Pro Football Focus ratings, as opposed to Baker Mayfield, who's 29th in the league. So if quarterback battle, I've got the better one with Houston. But the Browns, 5-3 straight up, but 3-5 against the spread, which means they're still underachieving. We still like the under in this game. The wins are going to be a huge factor in this battle. The pros hit the Browns on this one early until it got to 3. Now it's already up to 4.5. We'll take as many points as we can get with Houston. Our trend in this game, don't bet against Deshaun Watson when he's a road dog. And that's what he is today. Especially, we don't like to take teams in back-to-back road games. And that's what Houston's on right now. Over the time, teams taking back-to-back road games and they're an underdog in the second game, 54% of the time, and the sample size in that one is over 1,200, including 18-14 this year. We'll take Houston getting 4.5. We'll take them to kind of rally the troops, so to speak. So there's our Mac Daddy Stogies for the week. Give us hail to the football team, Washington getting 3.5 against Detroit. Give us the under. Of course, we root against human accomplishment on this show. We'll take the under, Tampa and Carolina, under 50.5. Give us Buffalo getting 3 at Arizona. Give us Houston getting 4.5 in Cleveland. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks. Hopefully you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll hit on a few other topics, including the Masters, coming up right here on ESPN Radio at the top of the hour. I know a lot of you are looking forward to that. A lot of good golf coverage here on ESPN Radio this week. But first, Matt Schaefer, our good friend at IPM Pest and Termite. If you've got termites and bugs in your house, and I know the weather's getting colder, when I walked outside this morning, I felt that winter chill. If you don't want those pests and termites coming into your house and hibernating for the winter, call my good friend Matt Schaefer at myipm.com. That's myipm, myipm.com, IPM Pests and Termite. They're the best in the business. They'll take care of all your pests because, as we know here on The Bottom Line, a friend in need is not a friend indeed. A friend indeed is a pest. We'll wrap things up and get you headed to the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, right after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Speaking of golfers, Alice Cooper, sing this song. Huge golfer. That's all he does now. He just lives off this pass and just plays golf everywhere. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Perfect lead into this final segment here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor on this Sunday morning. Coming up on ESPN Radio today, right after The Bottom Line, it is a tradition unlike any other. The Masters on ESPN Radio 1392.5. Let me give you guys a little story when you're trying to figure out who to... there's a $5 fine. My phone just went off. $5 fine for Brad Taylor. Little story about why you should listen to ESPN Radio today. There was a man one time, he was married for 26 years, and he even wrote a book, a legend, best-selling book about family life and family relationships. And about a year after this book came out, he divorced his wife and got with a woman who was 21 years younger than she was. And it was so wrong that the first wife, the ex-wife, is now paid $916,000 a year in alimony by this guy. The guy I'm talking to about, referring to right now, Jim Nance. So there you go. Turn him down, turn on the TV, and turn up ESPN Radio. Brian Katrick, I know him from my days in Atlanta. He's as good as it gets at broadcasting golf on the radio, if you can believe that. So turn down the volume on your TV and turn up the radio, ESPN Radio, and get some quality golf coverage, and you won't feel as bad about listening to the guys. Yeah, hello, friends, indeed. I didn't make any of that stuff up, by the way. So you could go look all that up online. So, yes, listen to the Masters on ESPN Radio coming up right after the bottom line here at the top of the hour. Dustin Johnson right now with a four-shot lead. He's a huge favorite right now to win this thing. I checked around this morning, minus 275, minus 300 out in the desert to win this thing. Would you take the field or would you take Dustin Johnson? Smart money would say, well, he's got a four-shot lead. Is that really the smart money, though? I think I would take the field because if you've ever watched the Masters, what do we know? Uh-huh. A lot of things happen in this tournament, especially in the back nine on Sunday. And Dustin Johnson, as we all know, has a history of kind of blowing leads, especially in big tournaments. We'll see what happens today. Four-shot lead for Dustin Johnson. I think I'd take the field. I'd take, if you said Dustin Johnson or everybody else, I'll take everybody else. But the best story of this tournament so far, 63-year-old Bernhard Langer, who won this tournament in 1985 and 1993. He's now played the Masters against a guy who was born in 1902 and a guy born in 2002. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's a guy, that's staying power. That's why golf is a game you can play up until your old age. And there you go, 100-year difference. The Masters coming up later today on ESPN. By the way, I did see a thing this morning where Jim Nance came out in the media and said, I want to call the Masters until I'm 75 and beyond. Well, let's just hope you've been a nice boy, so to speak. So you can keep doing that, Jim Nance. But listen to it on the radio today, ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Oh, that's not all, though. After the Masters, at 4 o'clock, 49ers and Saints will be battling down in the Dome, down in New Orleans. And Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Patriots. You can enjoy all this sports action live today. And don't forget, of course, across the dial, 92.1, Classic Rock. You'll have Bengals and Steelers at 4 o'clock. So it's a cavalcade of stars, as always, here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. As always, we thank you so much for you listening and taking time out of your busy day. Some quick NFL headlines I'm trying to look at going into today's games. A lot of people are saying that the Saints might face some discipline after some videos about them celebrating in the locker room after yesterday's game or last week's game without any masks. Are we at that point now where if you're not wearing a mask, you're going to get fined draft picks by the NFL? I'm not so sure. By the way, another thing about the Tampa Bay Carolina game, we took them to go under in the game today. Heavy winds down there, and the team playing for the Bucks landed, they had a 7-hour delay. So you don't think those guys are feeling a little salty this morning? 7-hour delay headed into that game. It's official, Ben Roethlisberger will start today against the Bengals. Of course, the Bengals, I'm sure, were hoping that anybody other than him would start because, as we went over earlier, Ben Roethlisberger absolutely kills the Bengals, 23-9 against the spread over his career. Excuse me, 22-9-1 in his spread against the spread over his career, 25-7 overall. The Seahawks will be without all their starting running backs today, so look out for that if you're a fantasy football player. All that and more today. We appreciate you listening so much. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. The Masters is already underway here in the morning. We're trying to check out the leaderboard to see if anything, any big comers from the great beyond has happened today. The leaders will be teeing off very shortly. We see that Tommy Fleetwood has already birdied the first hole. He's already up to seventh on the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson will be teeing off right after the top of the hour. You can hear him tee off here at ESPN Radio. Of course, our good friend Bryson DeChambeau barely made the cut. By the way, if you don't know who Bryson DeChambeau is, go look at a picture from him from 3 years ago and then a picture of him today. Let's just say he's been working out. We'll just put it that way. I think he's been doing a little more than working out. He's already today 2 under par, storming up the leaderboards. He was the favorite in this tournament before it started, but barely made the cut. Had a good round yesterday at 69. Already through 6 holes today, he's 2 under par. So Bryson DeChambeau, will he be able to get high enough to be in the top 10? I don't know, but it will not be enough to be the top guy. That's Justin Johnson against the field. Yeah, we'll take the field, but Dustin Johnson, 4-shot lead. I remember Greg Norman blew a Masters back in 1996 when he had his 6-shot lead against Nick Faldo. Well, those are the good old days. Poor old Greg Norman, yeah. Dude's got more money than anybody in the history of golf almost, top 5 ever, but blew more big tournaments than anybody. But you'll be able to hear all that action coming up at the top of the hour, the Masters on ESPN Radio. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. You can email us anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.